We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Katrina Cravey. Katrina Cravey is former Emmy Award-winning consumer reporter and TV host who wore headgear to high school. Her fun-loving but get-the-job-done style has made her one of the most trusted and well-known names in southeastern Wisconsin for both consumers and businesses. With more than 20 years of media experience, Katrina has now started her own company to share what she knows about the media, customer service, smart consumer choices, and how to get the publicity you deserve. Besides being a professional speaker and publicity coach, she is also an author. Her book entitled On Air, Insider Secrets to Attract the Media and Get Free Publicity will make you think like the media and transform the way you market your business. Katrina also loves engaging with an audience, almost as much as her love for her husband, their son, and their two cats. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lori, thanks for having me. I know sometimes, you know, it all depends on how the husband and the son are compared to the audiences.
I can only imagine.
You know, sometimes the audiences are a little bit more fun. You know, you get home and they're like, yeah, so what? You're here and you're making dinner, whatever.
Well, and in the two cats, I'm sure there's some good personality there as well.
Yes.
Okay, so I heard that you had a fear of public speaking. However, you've been on TV forever. How did you get over that fear of public speaking so that you could be on TV?
That is so funny. Well, I think all of us have a fear of public speaking. I mean, when I give these presentations to small businesses and nonprofits, I mean, their first fear is, wait, I want the publicity, but I'm afraid of getting on camera or talking to a reporter. And I was afraid when I was a kid. I gave my first speech in sixth grade. I was valedictorian in my class. It was a really small class. And on rehearsal day, I went and spoke to my mother and I said, I can't do this. I'm not going to get up there. I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. And she was talking to all the other moms and she leaned down and she whispered in my ear and she goes, if you don't get up there, I'm going to spank your butt in front of everybody. And that is honestly how I got over public speaking fear, because I knew my mom would do it. That was back in the day. And I'm so happy that she did. We joke about it now, because what if I hadn't been pushed outside of my comfort zone? I mean, I might have never had a 20 plus career on TV and now on the radio and doing public speaking if it wasn't for my mother threatening me. I know that's a horrible story to tell, but I just want everybody to realize that sometimes you just have to jump on your fears. You have to be on top of them. And I tell my son, you need to tickle your fears. You really need to address them and go, yes, I'm afraid. This is scary stuff. I'm going outside of my comfort zone, and then just doing it.
Absolutely. Or some strong motivator that, you know, kind of makes you do it.
Yeah, like being spanked.
Absolutely.
I would never do that to my kid now. It's just so funny to think about it.
Well, times have definitely changed, that's for sure.
Yes, they have.
So is TV glamorous for women?
No. Lori, that's a very funny question, because no, TV is not glamorous for women. I mean, if you think about it, okay, when I had my son, you're breastfeeding at work. One of the aunts had told us that if you use cabbage leaves, it was like this old wives' tale, but it actually works. So there's a reason why old wives' tales work. Cabbage leaves in your bra, it would stop them. You know, the plasticky leaves would stop any leakage. So when I was anchoring the nightly news, which I did for 6 years, you know, Billy was born right at the time that I started anchoring the nightly news. I was having cabbage leaves in my bra, and I was actually more concerned about the leafy greens coming up through my neck and my collar than giving the news that night. So it's not glamorous in that way. And talk to some of the reporters, female reporters, who've had to pump in the live trucks. I mean, when you have to tell an engineer and the photographer, can you please get out of the van so that I can pump? I mean, you know, TV is not all that glamorous for women. It looks like that because, of course, you know, we're put together at those moments. But all the time, right before you get on the air, you're not that put together.
Wow. You know, I've never thought about that. Wow. That's just, well, you did look very well put together every time I saw you on TV. So it does look very glamorous from the viewer's perspective.
I know. You know what? Now I just want to walk around with strong lights and a lot of makeup. And yeah, anybody can look good. And a wind machine. I'd also like a wind machine.
I'm never going to look at cabbage the same way, you know, let me tell you.
It's true. And then the next time you see a pregnant anchor person or reporter, then just think of that story and be like, I wonder what's really going on underneath their nice suit.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what's one thing that all businesses and nonprofits should remember before they contact the media?
You got to go through the so what test. So what that you're having your 40th anniversary, or so what that you're having your walk for your charity. You got to really think about what the audience benefit is for the media, because you got to think about what the media, who they're trying to attract, which is the average viewer. And the average viewer is not going to care about certain things unless you have some sort of hook that makes them want to learn something. So I always tell everybody, you need to teach something. We all talk about content marketing now, but that is so true. When you're pitching your idea to the media, think about what kind of content they can turn around and then sell to their audience. That's the number one thing to remember.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so true. I mean, content marketing is often associated with the digital space, but it's the same philosophy that carries over to traditional media. So that's great.
It really is. So do the so what test. I would say that was my number one thing to teach you.
I like that. It's so simple, too.
I know. It's simple. You know, that's the thing that I'm realizing more and more in business. It's not anything new that you need to learn. I just listened to this great speaker, Patrick Lencioni, and he said what you need to be reminded of these things. I mean, we all are looking for this new information. Sometimes the old information still really works. You just have to do it.
Yeah, I attended that same event, and that was one of my greatest takeaways, is our role is really the chief reminder officer.
It is. Yeah, it was an incredible event, and I do think that it's the simple stuff that really works. So don't try to overcomplicate it. Don't overthink it. I mean, a lot with my coaching clients now that I'm getting them prepped for, you know, talking to the media and being able to handle the reporters, and I said, while you're talking to them, don't be thinking of all the things that come into your brain. Like, just have your signature statements down and just say those. If you start to overthink anything, it gets convoluted and it never comes across clear. And that's, I mean, we really got to come across simple and clear.
Yep, the KISS method. Keep it simple. Keep it short and simple.
Yeah, I have that in my book, but it's like, what does the KISS stand for? And I just say it's sweetie at the end.
Because it's, you know,
keep it simple, stupid is really the acronym, but I say sweetie. Yep.
Keep it short and simple is what I like to say, but yeah, sweetie.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of alluded to this a little bit with that fear and uncertainty, especially when it comes around, you know, with that word networking can be really, really scary. Let's remove some of that fear and share a successful networking story that you've had. Can you do that with us?
Oh, yeah. I think networking is really key. I mean, you have to meet people face to face. And I'm realizing now, and just increasing my business as a speaker and a coach, that it really is the people that I've met along the way is where I've gotten the business, or people that have heard me speak that have then asked me to come and talk to other groups. But my best networking, really, I had to overcome a fear because I was invited to go to the Book of Lists party for Milwaukee Business Journal. And I really didn't want to go that evening. I was really tired and I had been through a lot during the morning. I had an interview and was on the radio and just was really exhausted, and ended up running into the editor of the paper at lunch. And I said, Mark, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it tonight. He goes, you have to come. And, you know, I think all of us, part of the fear is, A, I'm tired. B, I just want to go home and, you know, put on my PJs and relax a little bit. But he's like, no, you don't understand, because you're fresh into business. You don't get how big a party this networking party is. And thankfully, I listened to him and I did come that night. And right off the elevator, I ended up meeting a guy from Tech, which is the executive committee, which is the people who put on that big event that we were just talking about with Patrick. Yep. And I got to present to three of his tech groups right after Patrick went on. And I would have never met this chairman if I had not gone to the party that night. You know, and that's the thing that always amazes me. It's like networking and listening to people say, no, you're being dumb. You definitely need to come to this networking party. I would say that that is what people need to do. You need to go out and meet people face to face. And I'm so thankful that I ended up running into the editor of the paper and who told me go, because it's good advice.
Well, it is. I agree with that. And obviously you had an immediate win from, you know, stepping foot and just getting over your tiredness and your fear that turned into you speaking into a group of what, probably like 30 or 40 business owners?
Yeah, 40 of the top business owners, because it's all CEOs that get together to discuss their business issues and to get further education on business. So, right, it was a definite win, but my fear was I didn't really know this group. You know, it was just one of those extra things that I wasn't aware. And sometimes we have fear of the unknown. We just have to get over it.
Absolutely. And I agree with you so much on that. Because when you do it, it's a win. You know, regardless if the actual event itself was a win, but just getting over that fear is a win in itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think another businesswoman had told me at the beginning, and it might have been an Eleanor Roosevelt quote, you should do one thing each day that scares you.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, so you just, you know, if you think about it that way, then, okay, so what's going to be the thing today that's going to scare me? And that's what I'm going to take on. And then you actually are looking for something, because now it's a task and it's on my to-do list.
Yes. Oh, we need more items on our to-do list, don't we?
Yeah, I don't think I want any more items. I'm pretty good at adding them.
All right. So I imagine that you have a fairly large and extensive network. What do you do to stay in front of and best nurture your network?
I think I always want to be of service to them. So if I see something that I'm like, oh, this is cool, so-and-so would like this, I send it. You know, and I think that just making them realize that I'm thinking about them and that I want to be of service and provide them information that could be useful keeps you in front of them. But also, you're not just saying, hey, is there any work for me? You're saying, hey, I really did think about you. And I do think that this information would really help you. I mean, again, the content marketing, but always just staying in front of your friends. I mean, you really have to think of your people as your friends, that you truly do need to care about them. It's not just for the business relationships. Those things will come. I always think it's divine intervention. You know, God takes care of so many things if you are just a good person and you're just out there being helpful.
Yeah, I do agree with that a lot, is that you have to think of everyone in your network as your friends, because you're going to treat your friends nice and with respect, and you really want to go out of your way to help and support them. So that's a really good way to kind of look at your network as it's the friendships that you're creating.
Right. It's real friendships. And you never know who someone is, so always be kind. Or you never know what's also going on in their lives. You know, and you got to treat everybody well, not just the people that you want to get business with, even the people that want business with you.
There's so much truth to a lot of those statements that you said, that you never know what's going on in their lives, and maybe they're coming off a little brash or harsh, and but it could, you don't know what's happening, and you just have to be respectful of the current state, you know.
Right. And you might be interpreting it completely wrong with what's going on in your own life. You know, I always try to tell myself to not take anything personally, like, or not read anything into somebody's statement or the way they said it. Because who knows what they might have been thinking at that exact moment, and who knows what was going on in your head in that exact moment. You got a lot of, let a lot more things go. Just let it go. Not to quote Elsa. If you get any takeaway from this podcast, don't remember, oh yeah, that's the woman who quoted Elsa.
I won't make that a highlight when I'm promoting this. Okay. So, you know, what I find interesting is that you've been in the public face for a long time. However, starting your new business venture has kind of probably shifted your perspective a lot. In that you're kind of looking to grow your network in a different direction. So what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
I would say open it up to everything. Because you just, somebody told me, like, when a company first starts, what you think you're going to set out on is probably not what's going to happen. Like, your clients will ask for different things and then be able to shift. I mean, me talking to tech and Vistage speakers or to their companies, the whole thing was completely different. Like, I talked to mostly small businesses and nonprofits about how to attract the media, but these bigger companies want to know how to handle the media. Like, if a reporter calls, what to do. And I was giving them some advice on to never answer the reporter's question. Like, if you happen to pick up the phone and a reporter's on the line, just tell them, let me call you back. I'm going to call you back within 15 minutes, just so you can have your head clear. And the one thing that's consistent between everybody is you're in charge of the message. But it was different for me, getting back to your question about, okay, I need to have a shift in my business because I am going to a different audience now. And I think that when a company wants to shift and grow its network in a different way, go, okay, what does that new audience need from me? And then be able to answer those questions and not be afraid of, okay, I'm getting away from my original message. Is it still close to what you were doing? Is the new audience that you want still, able to handle what you're already selling? And do you have to do major tweaks or minor tweaks? And if it's minor tweaks and you think you can handle it and it's going to bring in more business, why not do it?
Yeah, I like a lot of that as far as one really powerful statement. You are in charge of the message. And I think that's really, really important. But two, to really know your audience and kind of that self-diagnosis of the minor versus major tweaking to that audience. And I would say, as your third, because the first one was able to handle the situation, the third thing should be, is this something that you're still passionate about and that you actually want to do, right?
Right. If you're not passionate about it, then don't do it. I mean, you know, unless they're going to offer you $1 million and then you might get more passionate about it. Yeah. It's like, okay, I wasn't passionate until you put that paycheck in front of me. But yeah, I do think that, yes, passion is important. But if you honestly feel that you can help the person and you have information to share and it's not difficult for you to put a new package together, then put it together.
Totally.
Or a new product, if it's something that, you know, they just want a product that you already have, but they need alterations for whatever they're going to use it for, then do it.
Well, and I imagine, I mean, in your world, similar to mine, it's there's just so much evolution with technology and innovation that you kind of have to constantly be tweaking the offerings that you're putting out there.
Right. You honestly do. And every different coaching client, it's amazing to me. I always ask, because everything has to be individualized. I mean, you can't do a cookie cutter for each client. It's okay. So what are your fears? What do you want to accomplish with a session? I mean, I've had people who, okay, I want to be better on doing Facebook videos or Facebook Live or YouTube, because we live in this incredible time right now where everybody can be their own media. Everybody's got their social media channels. How do you put out this kind of information? And so they're saying, teach me to do good videos, because you've been doing stories forever. How do I get my message out clearly in a minute? Which is really about how fast you need to do these things. So I've had that. I've had people who just want to be better in meetings, be better with their teams, be better with a group of other entrepreneurs, that when they speak, they felt like, okay, I'm not really getting my message across to people. What is it that I'm saying that in this presentation is not selling? So it's been fascinating to me, because it's all the same thing about telling a story, but the formats of where they're going to be telling their stories are all different. So that's been the fun thing, is to try to, it's not a cookie cutter, make it individualized.
Yeah, that is quite intriguing, actually, that it's, you've kind of moved or shifted more to a communications or messaging coach in a way, haven't you?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, because they go to the website and they were like, okay, I want to do this and this. But then when I really put them through a client assessment, which I have a little sheet that they fill out, then I'm like, okay, that's not really, so where is your audience? It may not be actual TV, local TV, because local TV is getting you to the average Joe or Jane. You know, what is, where do you want to find your clients? And then that can be, man, it can be anything, journals, different industry, magazines. So then we really have to target those. So it's really media of all kinds. I mean, I'm on TV, but I really understand what the media needs for all these different formats. And that's been interesting because I've been finding more media outlets than I even expected that there were.
Oh, yeah. The media professionals identifying more media outlets.
I know. I mean, really, I was helping this guy. And it turns out that he has these soft touch bases. Okay. They're bases that break away for Little League. And it's a Little League rule that when kids are sliding into these bases, they need to be able to snap off at a certain pressure so that less injuries, kids don't hurt their ankles or mess up their legs and all this stuff. And sure. Little League International, or I think it's International, has this rule that all of the Little League fields have to have these bases. And then I started to dawn on me. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I said, your main story here might have a harder news edge, which is I'm a parent. I have an 11-year-old son. He plays Little League. I wonder if our Little League group of parents knows about this rule, and would we be liable if a kid got hurt and we didn't use these types of bases? And he's like, oh, I never thought about that. I'm like, yeah, that's a hard news edge right there. I said, I bet there's an insurance journal. And sure enough, there was an insurance association journal that we ended up writing to them and saying, hey, you need to let all your agents know if they're insuring Little League fields that these bases are part of the rules now. And hopefully it will increase his business. He has competitors too, but just having content that actually the insurance journal would need to post is important.
Yeah, no, and that's great. I love the idea of kind of identifying parallel or similar kind of industries or something that's not directly in front of your audience, but is next to, you know, and will kind of, it's a soft touch, like you said, that kind of gets into that.
Mm-hmm. It is. There's many avenues for your message. And the thing is, how do you figure out all the different places that you can put your message? And sometimes you do need to talk to someone who's been in the media that understands, okay, where's the real story here? Where's the real hook? What's going to make me want to do this story?
And I love that. I love that word hook, because I think that's the most important component, as you said, not necessarily the distribution. I think that's secondary, but what is that hook that gets people excited, and then the distribution in a way will happen organically a little bit.
Right. It has to have a hook to create action. It's got to have something that interests me. I mean, when I was talking to these business leaders, I said, you can use this in meetings. Like, why have a meeting if you don't have a hook? Like, why am I calling you all here today? You know, what's your hook? I mean, why am I excited about coming to this meeting? Because it's a big deal. And what decisions we're going to make here is going to impact the future of our company. You know, like, how do you construct that when you put out that email to your staff, they're not groaning that they have to come to this meeting? You got to have a good hook.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, there's so much with that hook, but I don't want to digress on that topic because that's like a whole nother episode probably.
Yeah, call me later.
So continuing on, I'm really intrigued by how you're going to respond to this question. Digital networking or traditional networking? Which one do you find more value in?
I would say traditional. I have gotten more business face-to-face. The digital networking isn't bad, and I would say to attract the media, and if you're listening right now and you're like, wow, I really want to be able to get in contact with a reporter, I would say start by digitally networking with them, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. I say a little light stalking is okay. And it gives you some insight. If you start reading all their pages and posts and everything, it gives you some insight into what type of stories they like. So it will help you create that hook even better to attract them. So for people that you don't know, maybe digitally start with them first, you know, for the reporters, and then hopefully that you'll be able to go out to some actual networking events and then meet them. And then they'll go, oh yeah, you've commented on some of my posts before. I know you. So you've created a little bit of insight into your world, or at least put your name in front of them before you say hi in a traditional manner.
Well, those are some amazing tips that I'm sure our listeners are going to love. And I like your use of the term light stalking. Is okay.
Yeah, you don't want to let it go too far.
All right, now for a little bit of fun. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I'm glad you put that professional career on there at the end, because I was just going to say wear sunscreen. Let's see, to my professional career, you know, I don't know if we would ever really know. I guess take chances, which is what I'm doing right now. And I think it's what I've always done in my career, is to take chances and always accept the new opportunity, is to take those in, because that's one thing you'll never regret, is to take that new opportunity, because it allows you to learn so much more that you might be able, you know, God might be working on you to be able to have another career later on in life, and you need to learn those skills somewhere along the way. So I would say it's almost like the improv. When you ever do an improv class, they say, always say yes. I think I would tell my 20-year-old self to always say yes.
Oh, yes. I did take an improv once.
Comedy. And did they tell you that?
Yes. Well, it's a rule. You cannot say no, because you end the skit, basically, right?
Yeah. You end the skit. And if you think about it in life, you really end a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying say yes to something that, you know you shouldn't say yes to. But I'm saying, if it's something that's intriguing to you, then I would say yes. If you're going over the pros and the cons, and you're the only reason that you're not saying yes is because you're afraid, then jump on it, tickle that fear, and say yes.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. Tickle the fear.
Like that. Tickle phrase. The fear.
Okay. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
I already connected with you, so we're good.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, we're good. I don't know. You know, that's the thing. You never know who's coming down your path of who you would want to connect with. I always said I would love to spend the day with Tina Fey. I wish that, because I think she and Amy Poehler are such funny writers, and they're so awesome. Good about stuff, that I always wish there was a charity that had spend the day with Tina Fey. And I probably could meet her eventually through Gino Salamone, who, you know him from Fox 6, and he's the movie critic. He's on WKLH now too, with me on Wednesdays and Fridays. So I'm sure that if I could try to hook up with Gino, he could try to hook me up with Tina Fey, but I would have to say her or you, and I already got you. So now I have to move on.
My heart is solid right now.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. No, I love Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They're just so inspirational and entertaining, and the list can go on and on with them. But I bet you'll do
it. They didn't let fear get in the way. I mean, female comics aren't always taken seriously, and they've broken the glass ceiling for sure.
Totally. Yeah. They're rock stars. They're true rock stars. Okay, so I'm sure you're definitely an advocate of reading and education. I mean, you've got your own book now, but what book are you reading currently?
I am reading, well, I actually just got Patrick Lencioni's 5 Signs of a Dysfunctional Team. So I'm starting on that, although I've heard a lot of the talk on it already. And I did finish his 5 Temptations of a CEO. Okay. Which was really interesting. Have you read that one?
I have not read that one. I bought the other two that were kind of discussed at the event. The Advantage, and I forgot what the other one was.
Right. So yeah, they're simple books. There's things that you can get through quickly, which I think right now when you're putting a business together, I mean, I don't have a lot of time to read, but I do listen to a lot of YouTube and TED Talks, and while I'm on the treadmill, you know, anytime that I get a chance while I'm driving, I'll listen to a lot.
Sure.
So yeah, I would say his new book is the one that's next on my reading list.
Fantastic. All right. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Be good. Be a good person. That's really all you have to do, is really have other people and hold them higher than yourself sometimes. And that's probably my best piece of advice.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it really is simple. I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We don't need to overcomplicate things.
Yeah, it's just the golden rule. Treat people like you want to be treated.
Absolutely.
It is. It's pretty simple.
All right, Katrina, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what would be the best way that they can reach you?
The best way is probably just to go to katrinacravey.com, and you can always give us a call too. But I would say that's probably the easiest. It gives you all the information all in one shot.
Fantastic. And we will include that link in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It was really fun. I really appreciate it, Lori. It was great networking with you, and I hope to continue the relationship as a friend.
Absolutely. I'm sure we're going to see more and more fantastic things come from you in the near future here. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Katrina Cravey for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.